The Be Our Guest podcast is proudly sponsored by the great folks over at TouringPlans.com. The team over at TouringPlans.com is going to make your next Disney vacation awesome because they're going to keep you out of lines and see the most amount of attractions possible. For just a few dollars per year, guys, that's per year, you're going to have the information you need to go the correct way in the Disney parks to avoid those big crowds. And, you know, we're here in the summertime, and of course it does get busy down in the fall during special events like food and wine. You don't want to wait in line. You want to make sure that you can maximize each and every hour of your Disney vacation. And that's exactly what you can do with the TouringPlans.com premium subscription. Check them out. Grab your subscription. You will not regret it because you'll have the information that everybody else wishes they had. Check them out today over at TouringPlans.com.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 718 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and MagicalMouseRadio.com. Happy Monday to you, and, you know, through the marvels of the internet, I am here with you on a Monday and joined by our good friend Scott from New York, and we're going to talk a little Walt Disney World kind of extended weekend from back in January. But as you know, I have started my great summer Disney vacation that we take every year. So today we are in Nassau, the Bahamas. So check my Instagram at Be Our Guest Mike. Also check it out on Twitter and on Facebook, because I'll be posting a lot of pictures and updates from Walt Disney World. We get back on land here, I believe, on Wednesday or Thursday. So, you know, I'll be tweeting and putting all kinds of stuff up on Instagram once I hit Walt Disney World. And if we're walking around Nassau today, I may stop in Starbucks and drop a little update to everybody as well. We'll just have to see how it goes. I may just sit all day on deck and ride the aqueduct, but who knows? But I'm on the Disney Dream. I'm sure I'm having a great time. But we had to have a show to start your week, so we're glad that you downloaded the podcast. And like I said, Scott's coming back for another visit on the podcast from up in New York. How's it going, Scott? Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me. I really appreciate the chance to come back and talk about my Disney experiences, so thanks very much.
Hey, anytime. And, you know, this is going to be a fun one because we are here in the middle of summer. It is now pretty warm most places, so we're going to go back to January down at Walt Disney World. And like I said, you guys went down late January, you went with a buddy for kind of an extended weekend, a Thursday to a Sunday. So tell us about how this trip came about.
Yeah, this was a non-traditional trip. No families, no kids, no wives. But before I tell you about the trip, let me give you a real brief background that will make this trip make more sense. So basically, the way my life works, I get 2 weeks off a year for work. One of those weeks is in January with a company shuts down for inventory, so I literally have no choice. That's vacation, whether I like it or not. And my wife, being a school teacher, doesn't have the flexibility to not show up at school. So for that week, the last 3 or 4 years, I've been literally staying at home, watching the snow pile up, and just hanging out in the house, just kind of watching the clock go by. So for this year, I thought to myself, hey, wait a minute, why don't I take a shot in the dark, see about a quick trip to Florida, get out of the snow, go down there in the warmth and try and warm up a little bit. So I got in touch with a buddy and said, hey, look, I got, you know, some time off in January. Do you want to buzz down to Walt Disney World for a long weekend? I expected a flat out no, but within half an hour, I got a reply back. And then another half an hour, he had flights, he had hotels, he had the whole thing laid out. And I'm like, holy cow, I guess I'm going to Walt Disney World this January. So it worked out really well. In terms of that. So it was a total shot in the dark, but I took a chance, and lo and behold, you know, a brief 3-day trip came out of thin air. So I was very excited about that.
Well, it's exciting how you took that initiative to kind of, you know, let's make something happen, because I'd imagine January in Western New York is probably not super pleasant. Walt Disney World probably trumps that by a long shot.
Yeah, it was just nice to get out of the snow. I mean, the way my job works, you know, October, November, December are extremely hectic. By the time January rolls around, I am wiped out, I'm beat, and I need a break. And to be able to get down to Florida was a godsend. I know it wasn't with my family and my kids and my wife, but we do have a long family trip planned for the whole crew this August, so before the hate mail rolls in, they are all coming to see again. We're going to go back. So they're going to get their fix too. So yeah, this was really, it was a bonus trip, and I was thrilled to be able to try it and do things that you can't do with, you know, with a family. So it was really a fun time.
All right, and one of the things we went back and forth about, well, first of all, let's get into where you stayed, because you stayed over on Hotel Plaza Boulevard right off property there at the Holiday Inn. So give us a quick review of how that worked out, because I know the dynamics are different when you're going down with your buddy as opposed to, you know, having the wife and kids in tow.
Yeah, we picked a hotel on Hotel Plaza Boulevard about half a mile from downtown Disney. My buddy had, you know, discount through work, so that's how we picked that hotel. Just a plain vanilla, you know, Holiday Inn, nothing super duper. There was a small Disney counter inside to buy park tickets. They had a Disney gift shop also in the lobby, I think. But it was just real basic, you know, four walls, two beds, TV, a place to rest. It was convenient, and that's how we picked it. I mean, it was all on price. So for what we needed, it was perfect.
Now, did you guys drive down or fly down? I don't think I caught that.
We flew. We flew Thursday morning from Rochester to Atlanta, then took a plane to Atlanta to Orlando. Landed about 5 o'clock. My buddy had a rental car that we set up, and he's from Tampa, so he knows the geography. We got in the rental car. He knew right where to go. We flew right over to our hotel. We got there about 6 o'clock. So the sun was setting as we were driving. It was a nice sight because up in Rochester, there was no sun really in January. So it was nice to see that. And I was wearing shorts and a T-shirt, which was fantastic, probably 55 degrees. So we zoomed over to the hotel, checked in. And that was about it. Then we're ready to start our evening.
All right, so let's talk about, you know, you get there Thursday. It looks like you guys headed over to downtown Disney to Raglan Road. But we were talking about this in email before we started recording the show over the past couple days. It's kind of communicating. And the first thing you notice is, like, you bought an annual pass, but then you kind of laid out what you did on the trip. And as I was glancing through there, I was kind of confused because you got an annual pass, yet you never went into the parks during this trip. So tell us about that.
Yeah. Another non-traditional Disney move. I was doing the math at home. I was reading the touring plans, unofficial guide, and it looked about, if you can get 10 days worth of park, you can come out ahead on the annual pass. So I priced it out. It was $648 when I bought it right before it went up, and knowing I have an 8-day trip coming this summer, and next January, guess what? Inventory, forced vacation. Annual pass will expire. Why not go back for, you know, 2 or 3 more days, get my money's worth, and kind of do a solo trip, do whatever I want on my schedule. So it was a perfect storm. I mean, I almost had to do it. I was going to get ahead with park tickets by doing that. And plus, with an annual pass, you can buy the Tables in Wonderland card. So that was $100. So I was able to use the Tables in Wonderland for this, you know, 3-day trip. And I have all summer, that big trip with the family where we're going to have a lot of eating. Eating out and stuff like that, so 20% off for all that stuff. And then when I go back in January 2015, I've already got an annual pass. I've got discounted food. All I got to do is find a cheap flight, find a cheap place to sleep, and I'm good. So it all worked out. That's how I did it.
Yeah, that's something to consider, is that Tables of Wonderland card, if you're going to be there for any amount of time in a calendar year. And plus, like you said, you know, you're taking that big hit initially. Like, we had to, last summer, buying the annual passes for our family of four. I mean, I about fell out when I saw, you know, what four annual passes cost, paying for them all at once. But, you know, this summer, while we're down there right now, we didn't have to buy tickets. So it's almost like a bonus. You know, it's like you just got to take that hit the first time. But, man, it's a lot cheaper when you can get that last, you know, like 11 months out and get that last trip in. It really does make sense. And I like how you did the math. It'll you know, give you a reason to get back and have a good time next January.
Yeah, I mean, how cool is that? I have a solo trip all by myself next January. No restrictions. No, I can get up whenever I want, stay out as late as I want, go wherever I want. I can do all the stuff that I didn't get to do, and I can do the same things over and over. I can lay it out. So it's kind of a selfish move, but to have that chance, maybe it's only one time in my life, to go back there by myself with just me and my agenda, it's going to be awesome. So that's going to be huge to look forward to next January as well. So, yeah, I couldn't pass that up.
Yeah, that's right. All right, well, let's walk through your days. And Thursday, it looks like you guys, like I said, went over to downtown Disney. So walk us through, you know, you get there late or early evening. You said 5 or 6 o'clock, you're kind of getting into the downtown Disney area. How did that night go?
Yeah, the first thing we did, we set up an ADR through my Disney Experience, which I thought was really interesting because I did not have an annual pass at that time. I did not have any park admission, but it let me go in there and make a dining reservation. I know it's an off-site restaurant. It's not within the parks, but it worked out really well. I got a 9 o'clock ADR for Raglan Road, which is a place I've always wanted to visit, never have gotten a chance to see it. So we had about an hour to unpack our stuff in the hotel. It was about a half-mile walk from our hotel down to downtown Disney, so it was perfect. Get some fresh air, some exercise. Walked down there, and we just, strolled around downtown Disney. Again, I haven't had a lot of experience, walking around, seeing what's down there, so we kind of strolled around, looked at some of the things that were there. I went to guest relations, did the annual pass transaction, and then we headed over to Raglan Road, and we had a table right in the center of the restaurant, right next to that wooden platform. At first, I didn't know what that was, but as we found out, the dancers, when they come out, they would go on the big stage, and they would also, two or three, would come onto the little platform in the middle and dance there, too. So we were literally right next to them, and that was really cool.
That's a fun restaurant. I mean, that's one that I think a lot of folks, you do hear a lot about it, I think, on podcasts and blogs and stuff, but you really have to experience it to kind of get what it's all about. I mean, we can talk about it all you want, but really, to walk in there, you got to see it, and you got to hear it, and you got to smell it, and you got to taste it to really get the sense of what Raglan Road is.
Yeah, you really felt like you're in Ireland. It was a great place for families, for just your friends. I mean, that's a staple. We're going to head back there this August. We had so much fun with my daughter. She's big into dance. She's going to love it. So we've already got an ADR set up for the next trip, so yeah, it was perfect. We loved it.
All right, sounds great. Did you guys do anything else that evening?
After that was over, it was about 11:30. We wandered over to Paradiso 37 just to see what it was like. They had last call, so we couldn't get in. They said, hey, if you really want to try something out, wander down to Splitsville, it probably open. You can go see what it's like. So we said, okay, why not? It's vacation. So we walked down to Splitsville. About, 11:45, it was late, maybe five people in the place. We pulled up a bar stool, talked to the bartender, and just chatted, and had one more, and that was it. And it was about midnight or so, and we just wandered back to our hotel. We were tired. It was a long day. Got up early for the plane that morning and stuff. So we called it a night, and just prepared for Friday from there.
All right, well, let's go into Friday. So what happened the next day? How'd you plan that out, having the whole day in front of you here?
So another purpose of this trip, not only was it just to do stuff to eat, is non-traditional, but I wanted to prospect resorts for our upcoming family trip. I knew we were going to come back in August, but we didn't know where to stay. We stayed at the Poly in 2012. We loved it. But we knew there was going to be construction issues. We didn't want to pay all that money and be in a construction site. So part of the reason for this trip was to wander around resorts, check things out, slowly, at leisurely pace, and see what could be good for the summer. So we started off the day at the Beach Yacht Club, just kind of walked around inside and out. It was a beautiful, sunny morning. So we just kind of took our time, walked around, and looked at all the amenities. And I had a hunch I wanted to stay there, and that, half an hour, 45 minutes confirmed it. It was just a beautiful resort. Theming's great. The cast members are great. Lots of things to do for the kids. So we spent about, an hour doing that. And then our next part of the agenda was an ADR at Beaches and Cream, which at this point, ADRs were brand new for this little restaurant. I was worried that we wouldn't be able to get in, but I was able to book that ADR probably 3 weeks prior to eating lunch there. So that was a total bonus. So we ducked in there, had a quick lunch, and I had a grilled cheese sandwich and tomato bisque, which sounds kind of weird to eat in Florida, but it was chilly. It was probably 50 degrees outside at this point. And it tasted so good, hit the spot. It was wonderful. So yeah, we had a great meal there. Just kind of get our day started.
And that's something good to have because it's not super heavy and greasy. And, because I think sometimes we eat so heavy down at Disney, it slows you down and you want to keep going. You guys had a big day ahead of you.
Yeah, we had a lot of things to do. And then in August, you can't eat grilled cheese.
No.
That's crazy. So this was perfect timing to try something else you don't typically get to do. So after lunch was done, we kind of walked over. We took the walking path and went over the bridge and headed over to the boardwalk area. Again, I wanted to see what was there, see if it would be fun, for a stay at the yacht club, beach club area, to see what was over there. So we kind of wandered around there, looked at the different storefronts, and noticed there's a bunch of spaces for a little kiosk to be set up around the perimeter. I'm sure that's a lot of fun at night. And then we ducked into the Big River Brew Pub just to see what that was about. So we went in there, pulled up a bar stool, chatted with the bartender for a bit, and just hung out, spent about an hour just relaxing and getting an idea of the vibe and see, what's it like in the summer. It's a lot of fun. And we just little nightlife spot. They have, you know, informal menu. We didn't eat. We were just browsing, just hung out there a little bit.
I love this idea, though, because so many times on a Disney vacation, you're doing exactly what nobody has time to do. Or, you know, it's not that you don't have time to do. You just don't set aside the time to do things like this. Just to stroll a resort, check it out, talk to a bartender, talk to the cast members, see what everything's all about. I mean, this is like the opposite of 90% of our Monday shows, because, and I'm guilty of it too, I'm probably going to do it again later this week. Just go 100 miles an hour and, you know, miss some of these great things about the resorts and everything else.
I mean, the property is so big. There's so much to do. And then, you know, I'm the same with everybody else. When I go back in August, we're going to have a packed agenda with parks and rides and Fast Pass Plus and ADRs. There's really no time to take it easy and look at some of the stuff. So I really wanted to do it on this trip and just say, hey, there's a lot of cool stuff and I can't do this with my kids. So I might as well, you know, check it out now. It might be fun, you know, later on to try again. So after the brew pub was done, we went over to the Boardwalk Inn. Just kind of checked it out, see if it would be a potential resort, you know, for some other trip. And it's, as you guessed, it's beautiful. I mean, everything's immaculate, very well kept up, and looks like a great place to stay. I mean, there's a lot of things to do in and around the area. I mean, there's a lot of lawn space, and it's just a real old-fashioned, you know, maybe it's the 50s era they're going for down on, you know, Staten Island or maybe the Jersey Shore. It was just beautiful, and had never been in there before. It was a great place to walk around, spend some time, and then after that, went to ESPN, which is in that same general vicinity. Just walked in, and tons of sports memorabilia, looking for jerseys, looking for stuff on the walls, and you know, there's some games on the screen there. We, again, chatted with the bartender, kind of got a feel for what happens, you know, what's it like, what do you do, and just spent some time, just relaxing. Very pleasant, a good time there. So after that was done, we made our way back to downtown Disney, and we tried to get a bus to take us from the boardwalk to downtown Disney, but we waited probably half an hour, and no buses were coming, so we took a taxi, which took not a heck of a long time, but geez, it was expensive. One thing I noticed on the interior windows, they have stickers that talks about the fare that you have to pay. Well, in the fine print, I was noticing that if you sit in traffic or sit stationary for, I think it's 60 seconds or 90 seconds at a time, the meter will go up. And with Disney traffic making turns on some of those roads, you can sit there for a good minute and a half, 2 minutes. So it was pricey. We learned our lesson about the Disney taxi system. But, I mean, we got there. We got back, did some shopping, and then walked back to our hotel, changed for dinner, and turned around and went back at it.
So in the next two places, I really want to, well, actually all three. I've been to Jelly Rolls a few times, really enjoy that place. It's a fun environment, but you also went to Cruise Club in Bellevue Lounge. So, you know, we don't talk about that a whole lot on the show. So what'd you think about those three places?
Yeah, Cruise Club is a real intimate, you know, kind of cocktail lounge with a small menu right next to Yachtsman Steakhouse. Lots of interesting drinks, lots of good snacks. So we went in there to have a bite, not a full meal, just have a couple things to try. And it's really decked out nice. It's very wooden, a lot of nautical-type decorations. And there's a little buzz in there. I mean, there's people are typically having a pre-yachtsman drink in the lounge, so there's a good amount of people in there milling around. And I just love that resort. I mean, everything about the Yacht Club just screams vacation. I mean, where else can you sit in a place like that? And it's so beautiful. And everyone, again, they're so nice. Everyone's so friendly. The cast members, obviously, are going to be great. But people, they just want to talk to you. Where have you been? Where are you from? What'd you do? Where are you going? Just people like to chat about what's going on. It's really, it's a fun place. Just the environment is fantastic. So I highly recommend it. Anyone that wants to sneak away for a drink or a bite, I mean, it's a great place to do it. I would definitely be visiting that this summer. And I will recommend it highly to anyone that's looking for something different. And then the Bellevue Lounge, another hidden gem. We went back towards the boardwalk. And the Bellevue is an old-fashioned library kind of bar. Lots of comfy couches, lots of old-fashioned radios along the walls that play, you know, radio programs from the 30s and 40s. So it's really cool. Step back in time. And then the bartender is dressed up in a real nice suit with a big bow tie. And he's fantastic. Place was packed, and he's talking to everybody like he's a best friend. He's making, you know, 10 drinks at once, and he's getting them all right, and he's just knocking it out. And really fun place to sneak away again, just to have a quick drink. relaxed, got off your feet a little bit. And then from there, we went over to Jelly Rolls, which was the end of our evening. We got there probably 8 o'clock, 8:30 maybe. A little bit of a cover charge, but well worth it. The entertainment in there is second to none. I mean, dueling pianos is a ton of fun. Not great for kids. It's more of an adult place. If you have the ability to do that with your traveling party, it's a really fun place. Tons of fun. And that was it. That was our night.
Man, it's a good night, though. You guys got to see, you know, the best of the... Actually, you got to see just about everything that area has to offer, the Boardwalk, Yacht Club, Beach Club area. And, you know, you definitely made the most of it. I'm actually sitting here very jealous of that day because, again, very relaxing day where you don't have to be on a time crunch. But, man, that sounds like a ton of fun.
That was actually vacation.
Yeah, no kidding.
It feels like, which is hard to do at Disney World, as you know.
That's exactly what that was.
Oh,
that
yeah,
was vacation,
yeah.
People.
it was a lot of fun, yeah.
All right.
So, yeah, that was our night. We stumbled back to the Downtown Disney and walked home from there. And then the next morning, we woke up, had breakfast, kind of packed up our stuff, preparing to leave for Sunday. And then we headed back to Downtown Disney, did a little bit of shopping, went over to Splitsville. Now, this day was literally like San Diego weather. It was probably 75, not a cloud in the sky. It was sunny. It was perfect, absolutely perfect day. So we went over to Splitsville. They had a little outdoor kind of a patio slash bar set up, big screens right there. So we grabbed the bar stool, we're watching some golf, and again, chatting with a really friendly bartender. We had a Bloody Mary to kind of start things off, and just kind of laid out our strategy for the rest of the day and kind of got it going from there. So yeah, that was Splitsville is really cool. And we didn't get to go bowling, but we got to see the environment. It looks like a great place to just, you know, sit down, have a bite, grab a cocktail or whatnot, and really fun place for later on.
Yeah, I agree. Splitsville's a ton of fun. It's expensive, I mean, to go bowling there, but you're on vacation, you're at Disney. Most things are quite, you know, at least from the Midwest, you know, things are a lot cheaper here. So, you know, there's a little bit of sticker shock, but you got to remember, you know, it's not something you're going to do every weekend or, you know, more than probably once a year. So it's just one of those things at Disney. It's kind of a splurge, and the environment is definitely not what you'll see at a bowling alley here in St. Louis. So you're kind of, you know, you're paying more, but you're getting way more for your dollar.
Yeah, I agree 100%. And you're on vacation. What the heck? What's a few extra bucks won't kill you? So it's worth it. I recommend it for families and anyone who's looking for something different. Again, it's a fun place to go. I recommend it. So from there, we hopped on a bus and went over to the Magic Kingdom, you know, resort section. We got off at the Contemporary just because we were getting kind of frustrated with sitting on a bus for so long. We didn't want to wait until we got over to the Polynesian. So we hopped off at the Contemporary. Again, strolled through the resort, never really spent much time in there. Saw the big mural on the wall. We saw the monorail whiz by a few times. That was pretty neat. And then from there, I think we hopped on the monorail and just went over to the Polynesian to visit that. Now, I stayed there in August 2012 for, you know, 7 or 8 days. So I wanted to go back and see it probably one last time before all the construction, all the changes. I just wanted to take a ton of pictures, kind of remember the things that I saw, and just grab some more memories for the future, because I know it's going to be different when it reopens and they're finally finished with all the renovations and stuff like that. So we just wandered around the property for a good half an hour, walking around, looking at stuff, went to see the lobby, the waterfall, went out to the beach, saw some construction, the bungalows were just being built, hung out at the pool, just kind of enjoying the sunshine, totally relaxing. Went into Tambu Lounge, and luckily they were open. We were able to have a Lapu Lapu, which is their famous drink where they make it in the pineapple.
Yes.
Lots of fun to have a cocktail and a pineapple, so that was neat. Then from there, we went back to the pool bar, just sat around and sat in the sun, and people watched and watched the boats and just enjoyed the sights and sounds, which is, again, something you typically can't do when you're with your family running around 100 miles an hour. So we did that for, you know, an hour, hour and a half, or whatever. Then Grand Floridian was next. For some reason, there's a magnetic draw for me to go there. I'm probably never going to stay there, but it's just fun to walk in and see that huge lobby with the big chandelier, the band is playing up above. It's just striking. It's just literally jaw-dropping to me to walk in there and say, wow, that is absolute beauty in there. So after we kind of strolled to the lobby, went found the pool, and it's right near the new DVC Grain Villas. So that's all done. And there's a little, we found a little corner bar where they have a small menu available. We sat down and had like a crab cake sandwich, and just, again, people watched monorails whizzing by off to the right. We're watching stuff going on the lake and enjoying having conversation, chatting, nothing too crazy. When we finished up with that, we went into Meisner's Lounge, just again, something I've always heard about, never got to go to it. I wanted to go sit in there, listen to the band a little bit, and again, chat with the bartender, chat with our neighbors. So we did that for a while, and then the whole purpose of this evening was to figure out a way to get into the California Grill, which had just finished renovations. I had never been in there before either. So we kind of made our way back to Contemporary, went over to the check-in stand and said, hey, look, we don't have a reservation. We just want to go up to the, you know, the cocktail bar and see if we can time it to see wishes and see what happens. And they said, yeah, no problem. You probably should go up now, because if the restaurant gets full, management will shut that down and just keep the restaurant available only to those that have actual ADRs. So we said, okay, a little early, but we'll go up there, check it out. And then again, total wow factor. You take your private elevator up, you step out, you see a big wine cave, a big wine cellar. Kind of looked at that for a little bit, and then we waited for a couple bar stools to open up, went over, plopped down, and just sat there for probably, I don't know, 90 minutes. We ordered some appetizers. I think I had a flatbread. We had some sushi. We had the meatballs, and just took our time relaxing. We ordered a bottle of wine. We splurged and just had that. And then, you know, Wishes eventually starts around 9. They let you walk out to the patio, take your wine glass with you. Just don't drop it. No problem. You can do that. And then we watched the show from there. Fantastic view. Never have seen it from that angle before. Highly recommend that. And then we walked back in, you know, paid our bill, and then that was about it. And then it's probably 10 o'clock at this point. So we said, hey, what the heck? Let's go back to Raglan Road. We had a great time. Have one more, you know, Guinness for the road, and kind of sit there, end the weekend, and then wander back to our hotel, and up early the next morning, and out the door, back to reality.
Man, that, you know, this, you kind of said it earlier, that this is vacation, and we don't get that vacation, you know, state of mind very often sometimes on our Walt Disney World vacations, because we want to get so much done, because we don't get down there very often. But let me ask you this, because I have a couple questions. First of all, did you get have any kind of, man, I really wish I could get on Soarin' right now, or check out Space Mountain, or get into the parks? I mean, were you able to totally separate it and say, you know what, I'm going to be back in August and it's going to be fine, I'm going to get everything I need? Or when you went to the monorail loop resorts there, were you just dying to get into the Magic Kingdom, or how'd that go for you?
No, it was okay. My friend didn't have any way of getting into the parks. And actually, I forgot to mention, after I got the annual pass, on that Friday morning, as we walked over to the boardwalk area to check out, you know, ESPN and the brew pub, I did wander into the International Gateway just to double check the annual pass and make sure it worked. And it did, of course. So I went in for 5 minutes. I ran down the pathway, kind of looked around. I think it's France and the UK that are right there. Took a few pictures. My buddies just by the water watching the boat go by or something. So it was kind of hard not to run down there and hop on a ride, but I knew I was coming back for a long trip in the summer. I knew I was going to come back the next January on my own agenda and do everything, you know, 5 times over if I felt like it. So it was okay. I mean, it sounds hard to not want to go on rides, but I had a full agenda of, you know, looking for resorts for the summer trip and looking at, you know, bars and lounges and things that I'm never going to get to do on a frequent basis. So it was actually fine.
Good point. I mean, that's how you got to look at it. You got to say, I'm getting these experiences, not I'm missing these experiences. You know, it's all about your perspective, I think, with something like this. And, you know, you mentioned your buddy. So what do you think his thoughts were of the weekend? I mean, was it something, you're a huge Disney nut, so you really enjoy the intricacies of the Bellevue Lounge and the cruise cub, you know, stuff like that. But what was he like? Was he just like just going along for the ride and seeing what was going to happen, or what'd he think?
Yeah, he knew ahead of time there was going to be no park action. He's from Syracuse, New York, which is just down the thruway. He was knee deep in snow too, so he wanted to just get out of the snow, see the sun. And he knew that my plans were to look for resorts and go see lounges that are there, but you don't get to really experience And he's been to Raglan Road several times. So he knew about that. And, yeah, he was a good sport. He knew what the plan was. And we had a good time, you know, just going from place to place to place and exploring, looking around. And he's into Disney. He's been there, you know, a handful of times. He's not, you know, knee-deep in it like you and I are and a lot of other people. But it was just great to get out of the snow, honestly, and just walk around in the sun and just spend some time chatting. Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah, for folks that are not from the north that have the harsh winters, you've said it a couple times, and it is so true. I mean, in January and February, just to see green and just to get where it's above, like, 60 degrees, it's amazing. I mean, that's it right there.
Yeah, and it was, I think, rather chilly down there for the locals. I was wearing shorts, a long-sleeve T-shirt, and a regular T-shirt underneath it. But a lot of locals were bundled up. I mean, there was a lot of coats, a lot of pants, and it was chilly for them, but I was loving it. Where I came from, it was probably 5 degrees and 3 feet of snow, and it was the polar opposite to me. I was thrilled to have 50, 55, 60. So it was perfect.
Well, it sounds great. And you know what? Those temperatures probably sound good today because it's probably 100 degrees where we are today. So, you know, we got to meet somewhere in the middle. So it sounds like you guys had a great time. Scott, please come back on the show when you get back with your family in August. And appreciate the time. Love talking Disney with you.
Yeah, I really appreciate it, Mike, to let me come on and talk about this kind of stuff. So, again, thanks for all the work that you guys do on your end. And I'm happy to come back anytime and just talk about what's happening. So, yeah, thanks again.
All right, no problem. We appreciate it. And don't forget, hey, your friends over at touringplans.com are bringing you today's episode. So when you have a Disney vacation on the horizon, whether it's out to the Disneyland Resort or you're headed down to Walt Disney World, grab that touringplans.com premium subscription right away because you're going to get the information you need for your trip planning well before you head to your Disney destination. It's going to tell you which parks to go to on which day. It's going to give you crowd indications of where, you know, the crowds are going to be each day. And of course, during your vacation, you're going to have access to Lines, which is the mobile application, which will give you optimized touring plans right there on your smartphone to make the most out of every hour of your Disney vacation. So check them out today. They're over at touringplans.com. Give Magical Mouse Radio a listen this week when you're missing Walt Disney World. Check it out right now. It's over at MagicalMouseRadio.com. We play the best mix of Walt Disney World in-park audio and music 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Just bookmark it right there on your smartphone as well, MagicalMouseRadio.com. It's easy to take on the go. Give us a follow on Twitter. We're at BeOurGuestMike. We're on Facebook at Facebook.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. And of course, join the friendliest forums on the internet over at BeOurGuestPodcast.com/forums. And don't forget, for the next couple of weeks, I am down at Walt Disney World and sailing on the Disney Cruise Line. So if you need a little Disney fix, follow me on the social media because I love sharing all of these interesting Disney experiences with you in real time. So follow me on Instagram. Again, it's at BeOurGuestMike on Instagram. Same thing on Twitter, and we'll be interacting with you from the parks and the Disney Dream as well. So give us a follow, and we're going to be updating all the time from Walt Disney World this week and over the next 10 to 12 days. So give that, I know you need a Disney fix maybe at work. Check it out right now. We'll see where we are. All right, well, thank you so much for downloading the show. We appreciate it each and every time you do that. Please do spread the word wherever you go about the podcast. Let's grow the show this week. And as always, if you have a few minutes, give us a review over in iTunes. We always appreciate those so much because it helps other folks find our podcast. All right, so for Scott, I'm Mike, wishing you a great week. Continue to work hard, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at BeOurGuestPodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.